Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. This is an exciting session, so I'm looking for a little excitement. My name is David Williams, and it is my pleasure to be here this afternoon for an important session entitled "It's a Women-Inspired Neighborhood Network in Detroit: Transforming, Translating, and Transcending Place in Detroit Neighborhoods to Improve Birth Outcomes and Infant Survival." It's an important session because it provides an example of what we need more of in public health, of actual interventions that have the characteristics in place to ensure that they accomplish what we want them to do. So as my colleagues, as I will introduce in a minute, present this afternoon, I want you to pay attention to some of the ingredients of success that they will be talking about in this program that they have done in Detroit, Michigan. Note that you will hear about a public-private partnership, about a partnership that went across multiple traditional silos that brought together the health system and the public health system and academics and community partners and worked with groups working that often are disconnected. Pay attention especially to the role of the community in playing an important role. Note also, as they describe what they're talking about, another ingredient of success is that this program was targeted at multiple levels. They are interested in infant mortality, but they recognize that you can't improve the lives of children if you don't focus on improving the lives of their parents. And that improving the lives of their parents involves what you do at the individual and the community level, and that you just can't treat a patient and send them back to live in the same conditions that made them sick in the first place, and therefore pay attention to the fact that you'd also see them putting in place some of the supportive resources that parents would need so that they would have the resources to, in fact, appropriately care for their children. Also paying attention to the fact, as we talk about the multi-level component of it, that it did not neglect. They didn't focus only on the social determinants of health and neglected the healthcare system. So the project also involved an intervention with the healthcare system, with healthcare providers, to ensure that healthcare providers are informed, equipped, and empowered to deliver the appropriate type of care. So for all of these reasons, of so many key ingredients of success that we see in this program, that I really want to pay your attention to those dynamics as we go through the presentation today. And to lead us off in the conversation, give an introduction to the overall project, I am happy to welcome Dr. Kimberly Dawn Wisdom. She has practiced for 20 years as an emergency medicine physician at the Henry Ford Health System in Detroit, where she now serves as a senior vice president of community health and equity and chief wellness and diversity officer. So lots of responsibilities on her plate. In 2003, she was appointed as Michigan's and the nation's first state-level surgeon general. In 2012, Dr. Wisdom was appointed by President Obama to serve on the advisory group on prevention, health promotion, and integrative and public health. So, Dr. Wisdom, the time is yours.
Delighted to be here and have an opportunity to share our story with you today. And I first would like to acknowledge Dr. David Williams and his tremendous support of this work. He's actually been part of the inspiration behind some of this work when he was at the University of Michigan, and we're just absolutely delighted to have him with us today. So thank you, Dr. Williams. Also, I'm very excited that I'm joined by several colleagues that you'll hear from, Yolanda Hill, Ashford J. Clement, as well as Linda Johnson Hopkins, who is our community health worker. So you'll actually be hearing from various areas within our health system. And actually, we have Phoebe Goldberg here from the University of Michigan Public Health Training Center, too, in the audience. So she's been involved in informing this work as well. I'm going to start off by setting the stage a little bit, and then each of my colleagues will follow subsequently in terms of sharing a bit of the story. But I want you to keep in mind as we share this story that As this effort was being developed and conceptualized, we conceptualized it not just to solve the problems in the city of Detroit. We have one of the highest infant mortality rates in the nation, actually in the world in many in respects, as you'll see. But we tried to think as globally as we could that whatever we develop, we hope that it will have the possibility of being replicable, scalable, as well as others could adopt, various elements of this effort. So we try to think locally in terms of how to solve the problems in our local community, but actually thinking globally in terms of the ability to share this with other people, and they could take parts of it and hopefully replicate it in their communities as well. So I have, I do have some conflicts, but none of a financial nature that I care to disclose today. So there are no financial things to disclose. Also, I want to mention to you that you'll hear more in more detail about our social media element, but know that we are on Twitter, Facebook. Please follow us where you can. We're actually doing some live tweeting here from the session, so we are trying to come up to speed to actually relate to the communities that we're trying to serve, and many of them are very technologically savvy, and we, particularly the older generation, we need to keep up with the best ways that they want to hear and receive information. So the objectives today, we're going to give a bit of an overview of what you'll see SUSN, we call it SOAP, the Safety Net, or WIN Network Detroit, Women Inspired Neighborhood Network, and you'll hear a little bit more about the origin of those names. Talk about the importance of partnership, and that's absolutely key. The benefits of the community health worker model, where clinical and community intersections occur to address health equity and maternal and child health, integrated community health workers for digital outreach, and you'll hear about lessons learned. So, the goal of SOAP the Safety Net, and this was, as I mentioned, this was conceptualized as a way to address the high infant mortality rate that we see in the city of Detroit, but also to address the social determinants of health, and those issues that affect women and helping them to be self-efficacious as well. So in Detroit, we see about 200 infants, on average, 200 babies die before they see their first birthday every year. That's just appalling. I mean, just, imagine when you think about that picture of 200 caskets, 200 babies dying before they have a chance to blow out the birthday candle for their first birthday. And then we know this is a sentinel event, meaning that there are many other children that are at risk or are suffering due to the problem related to what caused infant mortality. So we decided to develop an effort to sew up the safety net, and you'll hear more about that in a minute, by working through an unprecedented public-private partnership of Detroit's major competing in the same region, healthcare systems, public health, academia, and our community partners to tighten the loose net of disconnected medical and social services for women to improve the conditions that lead to infant survival within that first year of life. Just to outline some of the partners that have been involved in this effort and to give a bit of background again, the Detroit Regional Infant Mortality Reduction Task Force was started in 2008, and it was the four CEOs of the major health systems that got together and thought addressing infant mortality from a regional perspective would be important. So we brought leaders from all four health systems and from our public health departments and our other stakeholders together, as you see represented here. And what we did was we developed an inventory of all of what was offered in our communities, all the programs that addressed maternal health, children's health, them together, healthy lifestyles. We found 100 different programs as we pulled all of those programs together and put them in an inventory. Many of these programs were undersubscribed, which means some were at risk of losing their funding because they did not have the adequate number of women to justify their funding. So here we have a huge problem, a lot of resources, and yet they're disconnected. Hence the name Sew Up the Safety Net for Women and Children. We thought rather than another program per se, that we would actually begin to link women and children to resources that would help them have a greater ability to not only survive but to thrive. In terms of this collaboration, here are representatives of three are CEOs, one is a CFO of the four major health systems. Now, not very often do you see this kind of juice in one room. And actually, for the after we did the inventory, we thought we needed to, the task force needed to pull together, identify some funding sources. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation was very interested. We submitted a proposal, and they said, well, before we consider funding your proposal, we want to do a site visit. We want all four CEOs or all four leaders of the health system to be there. Wow, that's pretty major. And secondly, they said we thought it might be great to have it someplace in the neighborhood. So we went to one of the very, very underserved neighborhoods. It's the Osborne neighborhood in the city of Detroit. And very high child poverty rate, just very underserved area. So all four CEOs came for this site visit, and it was just a sight to behold. So here are the four CEOs together, but it really started very much at the CEO level and them making a commitment. Actually, the gentleman to your far left is the mayor. He was the CEO of Detroit Medical Center. Now he's the mayor of the city of Detroit, just elected about 2 years ago. All four institutions, of course, are our anchor institutions, and the Robert Johnson Foundation thought it was a game-changing type of partnership to get competitors that compete for market share to come together on a common agenda and to move that agenda forward. So our funding partners, woman second from your left is from the Kellogg, W.K. Kellogg Foundation. Person on the far right is from PNC Bank. So we have very great diversity. The March of Dimes Foundation, the Michigan chapter, has funded us as well. All four health systems put money together to address the infant mortality rate and the self-sufficiency of women in the city of Detroit. Over 4 years, we were able to raise $2.6 million to address this issue, and you'll hear more detail shortly. Of course, we couldn't do it without our community partners. So we're working from the very highest level of organizations, the CEOs, and our community-based organizations are very, very key. So in each of the three neighborhoods, we actually rent space from some of our community partners in order to house our community health workers in those local spaces. We actually, the Brothers, Black Mothers Breastfeeding Association is one of the organizations where they have actually trained our women related to breastfeeding practices, but also they have hired some of our women. So there's a job placement, job opportunity. And another one of our key partners, I'm not sure they're listed here, but they're actually the fiduciary for our community health workers. We fund them, and then they in turn hire our community health workers to work across four competing health systems. Task force member roles are, as you see listed here, they are very active in connecting us with non-traditional contributors, such as grocery stores and ways to help women and children thrive in the community. They advocate for us for policy and system-level change, share data across systems, as well as they help very much in the training development, as you'll see in our CME program. Partnership benefits and key elements, we have taken a collective impact approach using that framework moving forward. Decision makers are represented at all of the meetings so that we can ensure that we have the right people at the table. We play to the strengths of the partners. So some partners are stronger in some areas than in other areas, and we play to their strengths. And it's very much, it takes a lot of time and energy working across all these partnerships and making sure that people are acknowledged, people get credit, those sorts of things. We integrate the same messages throughout the various systems, and there's a lot of information sharing, transparency, as well as mutual respect. So in terms of the three objectives, and this is where we talk about transforming, translating, and transcending. Looks like we got a little numbering problem. Maybe our PowerPoint decided one of two ones instead of one. But our three objectives for our Sew Up the Safety Net or Women Inspired Neighborhood Network Detroit. The first one is to recruit 1,500 African American women through our six community health workers, our community and neighborhood navigators. That's what we call the CNNs or promotores. We've hired them full time. Many of them are from the neighborhoods in which they serve, and they have just been a key element, the glue, in actually connecting women to resources, but also connecting them to healthcare delivery services. Second objective is to, so that's transforming place that we thought by connecting them to these natural helpers, transform. We can't relocate everyone out of these underserved neighborhoods, but we can transform places by helping to lift them out of those situations by connecting them with a community health worker. Translating place, we have a CME program that you'll be hearing more about in terms of how we drive our healthcare equity efforts forward. And the third one is transcending place, where we have a very robust social media effort to help with that. The eligibility criteria for these efforts have been African-American women. That's where we see our highest infant mortality rate. Ages 18 to 34 have had at least one prior pregnancy and living or receiving services from three very underserved neighborhoods, one on the west side of the city, one on the east side of the city, and one in the southern western part of the city. Here you'll see that in the city of Detroit, we have a huge landmass. We only have about a little over 800,000 people in the city. However, the landmass, you could fit the city of San Francisco, the city of Boston, and Manhattan, all within the landmass of Detroit. And if you took those three populations, that adds up to about 3 million people. And yet in Detroit we have, you know, 800,000. Some people argue it might even be a little bit less than that. So just imagine we have, you know, a lot of places to play, but not a lot of players currently in that geographic footprint. And I'm going to move through these quickly to allow sufficient time for the other presenters. But you'll see circled are the three neighborhoods, and you'll see the infant mortality rates in the three neighborhoods. We picked them. We knew the infant mortality rate across the city was high, but we picked them geographically to be close to the health systems, the competing health systems that we were working with. We couldn't pick them all right next to Henry Ford Health System. That would not be a good partnership model. So we definitely chose the neighborhoods that we knew were underserved, but were close to the facilities where that we were partnering with. The Detroit infant mortality rate, you'll see that some of these rates, instead of the name of that neighborhood, you'll see a country, you know, where the infant mortality rates are similar. So Albania in your upper right, Kuwait in your lower area, and Bulgaria on the upper left. Infant mortality rates by race, and you'll see the black infant mortality rate is the one that is oftentimes driving many of the adverse statistics, and that's why we focused on that population. Not to say that we wouldn't want to expand to others as well, but we found the persistent problem was within the African-American community. Where is the excess mortality? We see primarily the maternal health and prematurity area. When we look at the state numbers in terms of the perinatal periods of risk and what is accounting, what's driving for some of the excess mortality that we see that it's predominantly maternal health and prematurity, followed by infant health and newborn care and maternal care. Percentage of unemployment, you'll see if you layer these maps, they have a lot of the same challenges that actually are cumulative. Unemployment rate is high in many of these areas that we see as well. Percent of live births with mothers without high school diploma, again, we have an education challenge, and one of the other presenters will present a little more detail there as well. Percentage of units paying for more than 35% of their income towards rent, you'll see many of those neighborhoods are very high. Percent of households with no car. Now here we're in the city of Detroit that put the world on wheels, and we have still a lot of families that don't have vehicles. Percent of children uninsured. Continue to have a challenge around uninsured rates. Percent of preterm births. And you'll see the neighborhoods they are represented. Percent of low birth weight live births. So we're trying to track and match and affect change in those neighbors. The percent of very low births by zip code. So that ends sort of giving you this, setting the stage, and I'm going to now turn it over to Yolanda.